Blog Talk Radio.
I had to bring mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them about it, mom.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen.
Everyone, you listen to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Today the interview is with the director of the NAACP, Mr. Jennings. Good morning, Mr. Jennings. Yes, sir, good morning. Mr. Jennings is going to talk about the recent killing in Fort Walton Beach, Crestview, Florida, of an African-American man. So Mr. Jennings.
Yes, ma'am.
How's the investigation going?
Well, investigation is like investigation. It's slow and moving because we're trying to get all the things together. Let me first say good morning, Ms. Butler, and thank you for having me on your show this morning to talk about this tragedy situation that happened up in our little quiet town of Crestview, Florida, located in Okaloosa County. So to answer your question, first of all, my name is Louis Jennings, and I am the president of the Okaloosa County branch of NAACP here in Okaloosa County. And to answer your first question, how's it going?
Yes, sir.
I can just simply say it is just going, just like most investigation or most tragic situation, especially when there's a death involved. Things move a little slower than, of course, the family would love for it to move faster because of their hurt due to the loss of a loved one, loss of the father, loss of a brother, and a son, whatever that situation may be.
Okay. What was his name?
His name was Mr. Kevin Wilks, W-I-L-K-S.
All right. So would you explain to the people listening what happened?
Yes, ma'am. I can give you a brief overview of that, and I'm sure they're not asking for in-depth detail of all the issues. So let me just go briefly, and you can stop me at any time if we move to your next question. But on the morning of
Take your time.
I didn't hear you say it again.
Take your time, Mr. Jennings.
Oh, thank you very much for your generous time. So on the morning of October the 14th, 2021, I think it was approximately 2:21 a.m., the Crestview police officer responded to a perceived disturbance call in the home of actually the girlfriend of Mr. Kevin Wilks at Ridgewood Apartments. So after arriving at this location of the perceived disturbance, and the perceived disturbance was a neighbor that lived next door to Mr. Wilks' girlfriend, who Mr. Wilks stayed with also, I guess. And she reported that she heard a distress from that apartment. Someone had cried out, help me, type of distress. So she, in turn, thinking she was a good Samaritan, called 911 and said, there's something going on in the apartment next door to me, and it sounded like someone is in trouble. So for the 911 call of the police department, Crestview Police Department, and so that's how the whole thing got started. So the Crestview Police Department responded, and they arrived at this location of Ridgewood Apartment. So after arriving at this location of the perceived disturbance, police department then proceed to the apartment. They knocked on the door, right? And Kevin himself answered the door. And he closed the door back. Then he answered it again. He opened the door again. So he opened the door twice, but he still refused to allow the Crestview police enters into the apartment. And to our understanding, the police was... Say it again.
Didn't he tell them they needed a search warrant?
He just told them you could not enter the apartment. So they tell him that they just there for a wellness check because somebody reported a disturbance inside his apartment. And he says, there's nobody here but me. The girlfriend is at work. Nobody's here but me. But they said, we still have to conduct our wellness check, you know, to come in and look around, I guess, and see and assure that there's nothing going on, any foul play in this apartment. But Calvin told them, so we see this on the body cam of the police officer, and I'm telling you what we actually witnessed on the camcorder that the police were wearing. So Mr. Kevin says, there's nobody here but me. I'm alone. My girlfriend, my fiance is at work. So the door was cracked then. They were talking through the door, but the door wasn't wide open. The door, they were talking at the door. So the officer put his foot into the door so that it could not be closed while Mr. Wilks were telling him, you can't come into the apartment. I don't know if you use the term, you don't have a warrant or search warrant or whatever. He just says, I'm not inviting you in to the apartment, so you can't come in. So the police and them, they start having words and confrontation back and forth. until the point that I think the police got agitated, lost his control, lost his professionalism, and started to get really aggressive at Mr. Wilk, who on the other side was refusing, and he would get agitated because he just kept pushing the door back and forth. I'm not letting you in. I'm coming in. You know, I'm not coming in. So in my opinion, looking at the film, looking at the circumstances that was taking place, it was a perfect opportunity for the police officer to de-escalate that situation to the point that however long that may have taken, right, because number one, even if he heard the disturbance in that apartment, they was approaching the situation as a wellness check, right, just to make sure that everything was okay. That's fine. We love that. But he was looking at Mr. Wilk face to face, and he could see that this gentleman did not have a weapon of any sort. It just was there. You're looking at it. And if he was doing something mischief or doing some crazy stuff in the apartment and tried to go back to that situation, the police were right there. They could have made entrance in a split second, meaning that there was no rush to get into that apartment at that point because they could see that Mr. Wilk was standing there. He has no weapon. They could understand that if there was somebody he was holding hostage inside of the apartment, he wasn't doing that at this time because I'm looking at him. He's right here. So what better opportunity for the police to keep talking to the man and talk to him about anything, about his dogs, cats, whatever, call, what's your girlfriend number, can we call her at work, can she can verify this thing. He had time to keep talking to the gentleman because it could nothing happen additionally that had not already happened while they standing there looking at each other and he got it put in the door. But I think at that point he really got agitated, the police officer got agitated with Mr. Wolf because he refused to let him in. And then he forced for the push the door open, pushed Mr. Wolf up against the wall in the apartment. And then now we're talking about three police officers, three healthy police officers. They rushed into the apartment, grabbed Mr. Wolf at this point, forcefully put him down on the floor, forcefully put him into handcuff and ankle shackle. They handcuff and shackle him on the floor. And at that point is when the guy that was at the door pulled his taser and tasered Mr. Wolf three or four times with the taser while he was on the floor crying, don't shoot me, don't hit me, don't shoot me, don't put those needles in me, you know. Don't do this, don't do that. He's on the floor at this point. Their explanation of that was that Mr. Wolf was resisting arrest, resisting and kicking at them. Was kicking at them while they had to forcefully put him down, handcuff, shackle him, and taser him. That's the way they see it. That's not the way that I see that situation because I see it from the standpoint of you should have had an opportunity to de-escalate the situation while you were there. The other thing, once she was inside of the apartment with three officers, in my opinion, again, could have restrained him if they needed to restrain him, one in his foot, one in his head, one in the middle, wherever. Whereas the deadly taser gun was never necessary. He wasn't coming at them with a weapon, and they needed to retaliate and apply force against force, use the force to subdue the situation that was in their presence. I'm not a cop, and I don't know a lot about copping, but I do know common sense situation. And for my common sense says that you could have used some other measure short of tasing the man to the point that He later became unresponsive, and they called the EMS, the fire department. They show up. Nothing happened while this man was in response or been unresponsive while the EMS and the fire department arrived at the location, and they did a few little things, and then they realized he was just unconscious, you know, not responsive. So they started CPR on him. That did not revive him, so they immediately then put him into the EMS vehicle and carried him off to Norfolk Lutheran Medical Center, where he was later the next day announced deceased at the Norfolk Lutheran Medical Center. That is the long and short of all of that unfolded.
How is his family handling it? Is he a father?
Father of four, to my knowledge. I think is a, I want to say four kids, maybe more. But my calculation was four kids. And the kids are very distraught and upset. And, of course, you know, the father's gone. The mom is just out of another space, another world, because her son is gone. The girlfriend is hyper and going through something. The sisters are very emotional. So the whole family is very emotional because of the degree of loss to each one of them in their own respective spaces and places.
So what is the NAACP doing?
The NAACP was the day before, I think the 13th, someone had called one of my members, who they know, the pastor there in Crestview. And one of the family members told her, because the kids and the fiancés go to one of the NAACP members' churches in the city. So they told this female pastor what had happened. She in turn called me the same evening that she heard it, that what had taken place. I, with two or three of my members, my first vice president, and a couple of the people there in Crestview, we immediately called for a meeting with the chief of police and whoever to review the situation, to try to ascertain to what happened, you know, around the facts around in this case, what was going on. So they were very cooperative with us. And this was like on a Friday, October the 14th, was on Thursday. We talked to the police, and then on Friday, they agreed to have a meeting with us on the 16th, Saturday morning, in fact, to look at the body cam. And they was to tell us what they knew about the situation. And so that's how we got started. And then now the NAACP, at the family request, has been doing everything we can possibly do to assist this family in any way we possibly can. Number one, to try to find justice to Mr. Wolf's death. And number two is console the family and advise them where we possibly can, and as they try to walk through this process, you know, in their emotional state, you know, in their hurt state, in their anger, really anger state. So we're just trying to be an advisor to them and help them to navigate through. They have talked to a couple of attorneys in the place, to one of my lead attorneys. I sent him some information up, and he's looking at it, and he's going to see if there's enough information there for them to get involved. So all of this stuff is unfolding. You're saying, how is it going? That's why I said investigation goes slowly or fast, depending on a lot of circumstances. So we also have talked with the state attorney's office here in the in Okaloosa County state attorney to find out what they know, because we know that the investigation was at the FDLE, and the medical examiner, the autopsy. We was waiting to get the answer back from all of that so we could kind of ascertain the cause of death and then find out what the FDLE investigation turned up. So it's a lot of things moving at the same time. The person that they contacted was a pastor, so she's very much able to have a relationship with the family and trying to console them and keep them calm and keep them understanding the full gist of this situation, of course, but within the reason of trying to be there to provide that comfort to the family while we try to help them navigate the logistics of how to get justice for their loved one. And we promise we will be there with them until that is over with, to the point that we can.
Okay. I understand that the family must be in a bad state. Like you said, he was a father, a son,
and a brother. A fiance, yeah. So you got a lot people there involved. Their mom, a son, a father, a fiance, a brother, a loved one. That's all these people. Emotion is flying high, you know. We have had a press conference up at the police department. Just to get out there, that the family had an opportunity to express themselves, and NAACP expressed our concern as to what happened, and also to work in solidarity with the family and call for an expedient answer to the death of Mr. Kevin Wolf. And the family is asking for an independent investigation into the facts surrounding their loved one death and transparency, some reporting of the medical exam or autopsy, trying to get that information back, which will give them the pure cause of death. They wanted that released to them. And they also asking the police department to have a select citizen review committee be appointed to review the Crestview Police Department policies and procedure manual to include practice by the Crestview Police Department in the use of taser gun and other weapons when apprehending a citizen. Of course, the NAACP, we are suggesting and hope that the police department will take serious consideration be given to the immediate removal of all officers involved in this case from the duty status. You know, when things like this happen and a death occur, you know, those people involved are put on administrative leave or they are taken all out of their regular duty, like taking them off the street. We're not saying fire anybody. We're just saying that, hey, these people should not be on the street doing the same job that they were doing without some time for at least for the investigation to be completed. All the evidence come forth, investigation is completed, and to determine if all things was done properly according to the police officer manual, the training, and the way that the situation was handled. But at this moment, they are not, I said on deaf ears, they are still not place those officers on administrative leave or desk duty or something while this investigation is ongoing.
They should not be on the streets. They're dangerous.
Right. Well,
you hear me?
I won't say dangerous, but the fact that it's a lot of unknown. What happened, they don't know because they wasn't there. They only go by what these three officers said. So why leave them in place? Why not put them on administrative leave or desk duties or something while this investigation is ongoing?
Are you going to, do you have any idea if you will call this a hate crime?
I'm reluctant to make any accusation without facts. You know, I'm not calling it anything except two things we know for certain. A man was tased and a man deceased. A man was tased and a man deceased. So all of that have to play out in the investigation of the FDLE, the medical examiner, the toxicologist, all the things surrounding this whole situation, and other experts looked at the body camera, determined if taken was necessary, if the action taken was necessary, was it necessary at the very beginning, the top end of this situation, was it necessary to use the deadly weapon of the taser gun? Was it necessary to force way into the apartment, necessary to use the taser gun, necessary that this individual should be dead today? All that is in the investigation process. So I'm reluctant to call it anything but just that.
All right. Basically, what you have been asking for, the police for, has fell on deaf ears. That means
right.
They haven't did anything that you have requested?
They say they are doing their own internal investigation. I haven't seen or heard any results. So what the investigation there officers are ills, you know, they haven't came back and said, oh, and our investigation found our officers to be X or our officers to be Y, or the situation was handled properly or not so proper that there were, we haven't heard any results. So the internal investigation, we have not yet today had the results of the FDLE investigation. And I want to believe, I haven't read it, that the ME report may be out of and it's somewhere, but I personally don't have the results of the ME report at this point for me, NAACP.
So you're doing your investigation. They're doing their internal investigation. In most cases like these, if it goes before a grand jury, they're usually acquitted. Is this going before a grand jury?
I don't know. I don't
know,
and I hope it, you know, it's a lot depend on, you know, once they get the attorney in place and get somebody legal-minded to look at that, it can go a lot of different ways. It could even wind up. I'm just saying, I've seen cases like this. I don't know what's going to happen in this particular case. That an attorney, depending on the circumstance around the situation, may even want to do an independent investigation to make sure that the autopsy that were performed were done properly, that the information coming back, you know, it could go as deep as sort to have to resume the body and they have to do some more internal investigation. That's why I say an investigation goes the way it goes. Sometimes it's speedy. Sometimes it's a slow process and it takes a while. The issue that the family, we're trying to convey to the family, it may take time to get the facts, to get the justice that you are seeking, even though your mind and heart want it done right now, today, and you're upset, rightly so, you're emotionally, we understand that. But please trust us and work with us to let this unfold and let the facts be the facts, and then the situation, what comes of that, that's how what justice look like right now, we don't know. But we promise you we're going to stay with you till we get the justice that you deserve, whatever that might be.
All right, NAACP, Director Jennings. I know the NAACP is a powerful organization, and I pray and hope that the family gets justice. I know they must be highly upset and hurting.
Yes. Yes to all of the above. So, again, I just will reiterate and close with the fact that justice are not always swift. Justice take time to do it right and get to the facts. We're not trying to rush to judgment on this and overlook some very important things that could be very helpful to the family. But we're trying to understand the family's emotion, as we said three or four times already, and work with them and console them. We even have a mental counselor talk to the kids. So the kids are very emotional too, and they are traumatized by this. And, they could be suffering from post-traumatic stress from behind all of this, like the family. So a family definitely need mental health counseling at this point, just to keep them all in sanity, keep their sanity intact, and keep to help them navigate through all of this. They have received the body back, and they have had the funeral Sunday, at the funeral this past Sunday. And I was out of town, but some of my members attended. He said it was done very professional and very nice as far as funeral goes. It was, so they got that part done, that be able to bury the loved one, to say bury their son or bury their husband. And I'm not trying to leave anybody out. So to bury their loved one with dignity and respect, that helps them in their emotion state as well.
All right. I don't have really any more questions.
Okay.
Once again, I just hope you get justice.
Absolutely. What we all hoping for.
And I like to say that it's happening much.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just say thank you for allowing me to come on your show this morning and just express what I know to this point. I know it doesn't seem like I know a lot, but I would just promise all the listeners that we will continue until justice is done, whatever that justice look like. And I'm not making any assumption or making any assessment as to what that is at this point, or it's not. But we just want to let it justice be done in this case. All righty then. Thank you.
Have a good day. Director Jennings, thank you for calling in to the Queen of Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'll be sending you a copy of the interview.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings.